Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to Rule the World, the art and power of storytelling. Storytelling is what connects us as humans, and for brands, it is no different. A well-told story can effectively position your brand in the minds and hearts of your audience, and can convert thoughts and feelings into results and revenue. On this show, we dive into the unique and recurring principles of world-class storytellers from every walk of life to help you level up your storytelling skills and knowledge to drive real, measurable results for you and your organization. Here's your host, Paul Furlong.
Hello and welcome to Rule the World, the art and power of storytelling. I'm your host, Paul Furlong. Just a quick reminder that my book, Rule the World, Master the Power of Storytelling to Inspire, Influence and Succeed, is now available. You can get hold of your copy in all good bookshops, including Amazon and Kindle, Waterstones and WH Smith in the UK, Barnes & Noble in the US, and all good bookshops throughout the rest of the world. Anyway, without further ado, I'm delighted that today I am joined by Al Tepper of Tepfu and Lazy Marketing. Al, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Paul. It's great to be here.
Al, I've not given you a huge introduction there because I know that you can talk. So I thought I would give you the opportunity to introduce yourself. Why don't you take 2 minutes and tell us a little bit more about yourself?
I'll do my best. So I've been in marketing all my life. I have been moving businesses forwards, brands forwards, products, services forwards, since 1996, technically, but when I left university officially in 1998. And what I'm really passionate about is in helping people, especially expert business owners, avoid becoming well-kept secrets. And we do that at Tepfu. We focus on marketing, but we don't focus on marketing execution. We don't push buttons for people anymore, but what we focus on is the beginning bit, which is the strategy, and the bit that comes after strategy, which is execution. Because if you don't execute, you can have the best strategy in the world, but it doesn't matter. And as I regularly remind my clients, and frankly, anyone will listen, 100% of the time, there's very little you can guarantee in marketing, but I can guarantee this 100% of the time, if you don't say something, people can't respond to it. 100% of the time, people don't respond to something you didn't say. And so it's really important to avoid becoming a well-kept secret. And we're very passionate about that. And our methodology of lazy marketing positions your business as a flower and your prospects as bees. And we've never yet seen a flower walk to a beehive. So that's the clue to how we like to operate. We like the bees to come to you. And that's what we do. And I live in Hertfordshire, two Labradoodles. Something most people probably don't know about me, I'm a massive Green Bay Packers American football fan. although that's not much to shout about at the moment.
We can agree to disagree on that, as I'm a huge New England Patriots fan. But we'll put that to one side for now.
I don't mind the Patriots. As long as you're not a Chicago Bears fan, we're okay.
That's something we can agree on.
Yes.
So it's interesting you talk about the execution. I spent last week with Chris McChesney, who wrote the book 4DX, which is all about the four elements of execution. And that's what he was speaking on. That's what the focus was all about, that you have to execute and the ways to execute. Because if you don't, then you can do all the strategy that you want, but without it, there's very little point. Now, I really love your bees and flowers analogy, and we will come back to that. But I want to start with you just talking through something that I know you're incredibly good at, which is the importance that you put on extracting the core story from a business in order to be able to start all of this process off. So talk to me about that. Tell me how you discover the core story in a business.
Thanks. It's a great question. It is where we begin. In fact, we believe it's not just where the business begins. It's where the customer begins too. It's where everybody involved starts. And getting core story is essential. A lot of business owners struggle with these concepts because they're not directly revenue generating. No one defined their values, for example, and made money the next day. And the same is true about story. The reality is, I was explaining this to somebody in business this morning, either you are framing your business, your solutions, your products, your services, either you're framing them to your prospects or your competition are. You don't get a choice. When the customer or the prospect thinks about you, they will have had some framing about you or the industry or about competitors. So they're looking at you and assessing you against something. And if you do not define that which you are being assessed against, then you're on the back foot, and the chances are it's going to be very hard to get onto the front foot and to win. So rather than let anybody else define you, we always recommend everybody gets to the core of their story and defines themselves in a way that suits them, their business, their customers. Now, for everyone that's listening, I can tell you a really simple way to do this. It's really straightforward. There's nothing rocket science about it. Your customer is on a journey and they don't care about your business. I'm sorry if that's the first time you've ever heard that. Your customers don't care about your business. They care about their problems, their challenges, the things they need to worry about. And so if they don't care about your business, how much do you think they want to listen to you talking about your business? Well, probably very little. But they do want to hear you talking about their challenges, their problems, their struggles, their business, because that's why they'd give you money. Otherwise, what problem are you solving for them? And so when we talk about their journey, the most important thing is that you get in their head and understand the journey they're on. And that then informs your story as well. So the simplest way to do this is to think about three phases: pain, process, and paradise. Pain is about the state your customer or prospect are in before they even know you exist, often before they even accept or know they have a problem. They don't even know necessarily what's going on. They're in pain and it hasn't yet emerged what the pain is, let alone how to solve it. So what do we mean by pain? We mean, how do they feel in that situation? How does that business owner feel? Let's work that out. From there, we can go to process. This is the middle of the journey, if you like. And this is when they come and find out about you. They learn about your process. They might be working with you in process. But now they've transitioned from pain, which is quite solitary because no one really understands until they understand, to process. So now they found somebody that understands them, that gets them, that can see a way out. They found their Sherpa and they can start climbing Mount Everest. And the final stage is called paradise, because this is where they get to summit Mount Everest. This is where they've solved the problem, they've fixed the challenge, they've addressed the struggle, They know how to get out of that place, and they are busy doing that. And they feel the rewards. They can see the progress. They're moving forwards all the way up to that summit. When you're building your story, your job, your responsibility is to be able to answer that for the customer without even asking them directly. If you don't know your customer well enough to be able to make those decisions, how on earth are you in business serving that customer? It's a horrible question to ask, but it's an honest one. Because if you don't know the answers, how on earth is your customer or prospect going to know the answers? So if you really want to make it easy for people, get your story sorted, get the framing right so that it suits you, suits the customer, answers the problem, addresses the challenge, points at the struggle that they're experiencing, and away you go from there. Does that make sense, Paul?
Perfect sense. So give me an example and I'll tell us what your three P's are at TEPFU.
Oh, that's a good question. I actually have them here, funnily enough. I didn't know you were going to ask that, but I always have them on my desktop, so I'm very glad you asked. So my three P's are invisible, simple, and conversations. So before people know of me, meet me, even before they're aware they have a problem, what I can discern to be true is that they are feeling more and more invisible. They almost feel like they're, you know, just sort of slipping away transparently from the world. They just wonder why nobody sees them. Why isn't anybody responding? Why isn't anybody talking to me? What's wrong? Is it me? Imposter syndrome. Maybe I'm rubbish at this. Maybe I should quit and go get a job. So I want to find people when they're in that invisibility state. The next for me is simple. Our process makes marketing so simple, it's ridiculous. So simple, sometimes people come away from a session and can't quite believe that we've achieved so much with so little. Simple because marketing shouldn't be complicated, and I believe the industry has made it more complicated for expert business owners than it needs to be. So once the prospective customer knows that they have a visibility problem, and once they see the simplicity that we bring, we then know that the paradise state is going to be conversations. They're going to be talking to more people that are relevant to them about things that they want to do, that they enjoy, for rates that are fair. And I meet so many expert business owners, Paul, who are talking to the wrong people about doing work they don't want to do for money they don't think is fair. I meet so many expert business owners who get to the end of the month, there's not enough in the pot. They've killed themselves that month. They've done work that they never would normally want to do because it's not ideal, but they needed the money, so they said yes. And as a result, they're in that horrible catch-22 place. We want to get them out of that catch-22. We want to get them to be visible in the right way to the right people for the right work, for the right money, for the so that they enjoy their life again. What a crazy idea. Start a business and enjoy your life. And once we've got that visibility challenge tracked in to the simplicity that we bring, we know they're just going to be speaking to lots more people that are relevant to them.
That sounds amazing. And who doesn't want that?
Well, I mean, this is the point. You know, I think you've got to structure your business in a way where they understand what their problem is, that you can solve that problem. And in my case, it happens to be around invisibility and conversations. But for every business, it's going to be difficult. And off of those three words, by the way, I could editorialize those, turn each of those individual words into a single phrase, a single sentence, a single paragraph. I could probably write a book on each one. I could talk about the invisibility of expert business owners all day on LinkedIn, on social media and emails. And if somebody's an expert business owner and they're feeling invisible, when they see that content from me, they're going to put their hand up and go, he's talking about me. And that's what you want. You want people to opt in, to pay attention to you, to believe, to really believe that you are there to help them get out of a problem. And if they believe that, how can you lose?
So moving from core story to messaging, like you've just said, moving into maybe single sentences or blogs or whatever, you talk through a branding pyramid. So how does the, once you've got your three P's, how does it work to create that kind of branding pyramid? Is there a reduction and distillation process for it? How do you create it to bring about that emotional and those logical connections with the audience?
When we're building strategy, that's a great question. When we're building strategy, we go much further than just the three P's. The three P's are just the quickest way for everybody listening to this to start thinking about story. When we actually go through a strategy piece of work, we will, the end result of the first part of the process, which is all around story, the end result is the three P's. And along the way to the three P's, we have absolutely extracted, distilled, refined, chopped, sliced, diced, move around. We take the entirety of the story and actually we reduce it down to produce the three P's. So when you're doing it on a full strategy basis, that's the end result of a much longer process. And that taps into messaging because then we can start to build out the brand pyramid. So for example, in a brand pyramid, what we're talking about are the four or five key things that you should be absolutely saying as often as possible. You have to bang certain drums regularly. People are overwhelmed with content and marketing and messages and visuals. And if you talk about something different every time, they're never going to figure out what you are. And so the brand pyramid gives us some stability. If you think about it, if you're a Marvel Comic Universe fan, the messaging, your pyramid is canon. It's biblical. It's what you revert to. Even if you don't have full story, the brand pyramid is the be-all and end-all. And so the way we extract story into the brand pyramid, the first two parts, well, technically the first part of the brand pyramid is the three P's. And then from the three P's, we can start to look at the USP and the wow. The USP builds out the logical reasons why you lower risk and why people can feel safe choosing you. The wow builds out the human connection. Why do people love working with you? What would they say about you? And so the messaging that we now need to create draws on the story, draws on everything that we've created so far to distill even further into key statements, what the problem is, what the solution is, what the outcome is, what's unique about you, what's amazing about you, why are people going to love working with you, why are you a no-brainer, why is appointing you the single best business decision of their lives? It's that good. It's that low in risk. It's that high in value and reward. And by the way, then you plug social proof into that. Here's what 150 other people have said about me. You know, so the brand pyramid starts with the three P's, moves up into the human conversation, the emotional conversation, the logical conversation. And the pinnacle of the brand pyramid, if you haven't built your brand yet, would be to then distill all of that even further into a brand name and a strap line. And the brand name and the strap line have to work together. They are a pair. And the one of them has to be operational, what you do, very boring. And the other has to be aspirational, painting a picture, making a promise, showing people what's possible. And so, for example, Tetfu is an aspirational name. It doesn't really mean anything to anyone unless you know why I called it Tetfu. So I have to have a really dull operational strap line at the end of it. And the strap line that goes along with Tetfu to explain what Tetfu is marketing strategy and coaching. It's that simple. Tetfu on its own means nothing. Tetfu, marketing strategy and coaching. Now you know what they do. And now you're curious as to what Tetfu means and why is Tetfu aspirational? What am I aspiring to? Well, it's our job to communicate that in the marketing.
Perfect. And so by doing all of that, it gives you that consistency in messaging, content and themes. Yeah. So if someone's going to deviate from their story and their brand pyramid, it's going to cause some problems, isn't it? What problems do you see if people start to deviate from their pyramid?
That's a really good point. And you used a great word, consistency. You know, the purpose of the story and the brand pyramid is to allow you to be consistent, to have that canon to fall back on. When you start deviating from that, what you're actually doing is when you're sticking to it, when you're being consistent, you're training the observer's mind to think about you in a certain way. If you only talk about selling pink Ferraris, well, people's opinion of you is that you only sell pink Ferraris. If, however, you talk about selling pink Ferraris and serving hazelnut lattes and, you know, making candles and running a pottery workshop. If you talk about something different all the time, if there's no consistency, what bucket do people put you in? They don't know what you are. They don't know what you do. And worst of all, they obviously will have no clue as to how you can help them solve that problem. And so all of this consistency means that you can start to get the same message out so that when people see it, it beds in and your pipeline will grow. Now, we know for an absolute fact, the best CMOs in the world will tell you, if you want to lower your cost of sales, build a brand. And a brand doesn't just mean a logo. Brands are how you make people feel. Brands are how you make people feel. So if you've got a lovely, beautiful brand, visually created, great brand name, great tagline, all on message, all of your content dovetails, it all points back to story, it all speaks to the customer journey. What could go wrong? If, however, all of that is sticky back plastic looking like something was made on Blue Peter 30 years ago, no one's going to have any confidence in it, are they? And so the biggest risk, Paul, is that people lose confidence in you. And that means you've just sent the risk spiraling upwards, because now why would they work with you? Because now they're not sure. It's very imperceptible. It's very hard to measure in many respects until it's too late. And then it's really easy to measure and there's nothing you can do about it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So once you've got that consistency nailed and you've got your brand where people are feeling confident to use you, that they'll come along. But obviously we've talked a little bit about getting your message out there in the first instance, so that that brand starts to be visible. How do you start to kind of fragment that core story and that brand pyramid into almost an unlimited number of potential stories for the various marketing channels out there? And why is that so important?
Brilliant question. It's really important because up until now, it's all theory. Up until now, story and brand messaging pyramid, it's all theory. The rubber hits the road when we start getting to content strategy. Because if we're not implementing everything we've created, well, it's a waste, isn't it? It seems, you know, you wouldn't build the story of a brand, you wouldn't build the brand, you wouldn't build the messaging if you weren't going to execute it. And if you didn't, it would be an awful waste of good creativity. And so the first thing we've got to do is we've got to take what we've got and turn it into content strategy. Now, I come at content strategy. I come at everything from a marketing perspective, from the heart rather than the head. What I mean by that is SEO agencies are going to be very head focused because they're just looking at the data off of Google and they're trying to focus on where the traffic is, what we need to write to get to that result on Google. I don't worry about that because I know they do. I worry and focus on content that people will want to engage with because people buy from people. And so if the content we have isn't organically engaging with people, it doesn't matter how much we spend on paid anything. If organic isn't working, paid at the very best is going to be very expensive and might work, but at very worst is going to be very expensive and has no chance of working. And so organic is key. And the way we fracture this content, we've got 8 different content creation mechanisms. We've got 5 different content amplifier mechanisms. We've got 6 different content genres, 6 different content muscles that we all need to work. We've got all of these pieces of kit. We call this bit the content gym. And in the content gym, all of these pieces of kit come into play. And so the 8 content the 8 content creation mechanisms, everything we've got can then get filtered through those 8, one of which is called the grid. And the grid will create an incredible amount of content very quickly. I think the record is something like 11 years worth of content in about half an hour, potentially. And all of it is congruent back to messaging pyramid, brand architecture, and all the way back to story and the 3 P's. And that's the key, because now we've got content and it's all consistently lining up. We can start to focus on creativity. We don't have to worry about what we're going to write about because we know what we need to talk about because we've already defined that through the process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, perfect sense. I love that. And I know that at Opus we've used your content grid in the past, and it really does work, and very quickly. It's a great tool.
I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, it's a great tool. So how do you approach storytelling for the different platforms and mediums? So is it different for, say, social media compared to email marketing or video content? How do you consider each one, and is it done differently?
I might get lots of people disagreeing with me here, but I don't really mind, because at the age of 51, having worked this long in marketing, I really believe in a certain view on this. So if anyone wants to come at me, don't mind. But the bottom line is, I think when the internet started, and I was around then, and I've seen all the transitions, when it was nascent and it was beginning, first of all, there was no social media channels. I mean, social media in 1994 didn't exist in any way, shape or form that you see social today. And so the way content was created at the beginning of the internet was very different to the way content created today. Fast forward 10 years till the first social networks started launching. And by first social networks, I don't mean any of the networks you use today. I mean Friends Reunited, I mean MySpace, I mean all the early stuff. And we started to hear that we needed to have different voices for people, because people on MySpace would expect different content to people on any other platform. Fast forward another 5 years, Facebook, Twitter, all hell breaks loose. The world starts to take more of a familiar shape. And people still believed, and I'm sure they were correct at the time, that you still needed to write differently for different audiences. If I'm honest, I've never cared. I've never written for different audiences. I write for one audience, that's my customer, wherever they are. Now, will I leverage different channels differently? Yeah, of course. You know, on Instagram, it's going to be more visual. Of course it is, because I can't put links in. I'm not sure anyone reads the text anyway. It's mostly about the imagery. So that's a very image-led platform. LinkedIn, very business-led platform. Facebook, that's where my friends and family are. I've got, you know, over 4,000 connections there, lots of business people as well. So now I just write for my customer. I don't really even think about purposing content differently. You can if you wish. I've never advised a client to do it, and I've never had a client tell me they wish they had. I think it's possible that we're still doing that because that's the way it was always done. But I'm not convinced we need it. There may be lots of people in social who will disagree with me, but I would argue that they've got a vested interest in continuing to say that you need to create different content for different channels, because I think that keeps them busier. However, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you can't benefit from it if you have the time, budget, and energy to create different types of content for different channels. You know, if you can create video for YouTube, for LinkedIn, for Insta and short in Reels, you know, if you can create video, why wouldn't you? But not everyone can go full speed into video. Some people do, some people don't. Not everyone can create lots of visuals. That's why Canva exists. And so before Canva, how did anyone post anything as a brand on Instagram? I'm not sure anyone did, unless you had a design department, because it would have cost you a fortune. And so we use the channels differently. But are we saying different things? I don't think so. I'm not. I was saying the same things to the same people in different ways on different platforms.
Perfectly. And I think you may have answered my next question in your previous two, but just to be sure, I'm going to ask it anyway, if that's all right. So how do you get the balance right between creativity and strategic alignment?
I'm not sure there's a conflict. And actually, I think if you get the strategic element right at the start, I think it's not a conflict, it's a benefit. Creativity and strategy are mutually inclusive. I don't know that you can even have one without the other. And so if you've got the strategy defined correctly, and you know, as my good friend would say, where the bumpers are, on the, you know, like when you go to the bowling alley, you got bumpers. The purpose of strategy is to keep you in lane, to keep you focused. So how does that affect creativity? I think it allows you more space to be creative because you know where you kind of know the topography of where you're playing from a content perspective. I think when you don't have that, when it's all just a blank piece of paper, it's actually really hard to be creative. And there's a concept in philosophy called the straw man. And the purpose of the straw man is that if I want a client to give me a testimonial, how many times will that client come back and say, brilliant, what sort of things do you have in mind? Can you send me a draft? It happens all the time because it's easier to beat something into shape when it's got a shape than when it has no shape. And so by getting your strategy nailed at the start, by making sure you get strategy, story, into content, into messaging, and then into content strategy, if you get that alignment there, it's not possible for you to fall out of alignment unless you actively choose to. And why would you choose to? Because you've got a set of rules that you're sticking to. So I think creativity is a natural output of strategic alignment, actually.
Great answer. I love that. And so off the back of that, then, obviously, strategy helps massively with this, I'm sure. But how do you measure the effectiveness of a storytelling campaign?
I love that. People ask me about KPIs and stats all the time. And I always laugh because, look, let's be real for a minute. There's loads of really useful stats. There's loads of really useful measures. Einstein famously once said, not everything worth measuring is measurable. And not everything measurable is worth measuring. And so the first thing I want to impart to my clients is, whoa, 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 slow down, stop measuring everything, because you're spending a day a week just filling in a Google spreadsheet with data that you don't even know what you're using it for. So we always want people to qualify why they're collecting a piece of data and what they're going to do with the insight. When they've got that data, what decision is it going to inform? What problem could it solve, or what problem could it create? And so the way you measure the success of a story campaign is the way you measure a success of any marketing campaign. How many conversations did it start? How many people did it put in your pipeline? How many people did it put in the funnel? Those are really easy measurables that you don't have to spend a lot of time. Well, you shouldn't hopefully have to spend a lot of time curating, but let's be even more realistic. The number one thing I measure is buzz. And what I mean by that is, a long time ago, somebody once said to me at an event, I was running an event in, I don't remember where it was, somewhere in Europe. And they said to me, I don't understand how you make this work, but the buzz, the engagement is undeniable out. And the reality is that not everything worth measuring is measurable. Not everything measurable is worth measuring. And so what I mean by buzz is conversations. Paul, have you ever had that feeling? You've woken up on a Monday. It's a particularly tough month, the month before. I'm sure you've never had tough months, of course, but let's just assume you're a normal human being. You've had a tough month at some point in your life. You know, you wake up on that Monday morning and you just feel viscerally a little bit cold, like there's no one around you, like you're on your own in the North Pole. And it doesn't feel very comfortable as a business owner. You feel like, where is everyone? What's going on? Is everyone taking the day off today? The opposite is also true. There are some times when you find yourself completely surrounded by your people, overwhelmed, inundated, messages on LinkedIn, messages on WhatsApp, and you know how to convert those messages on your customer journey to the next step that you want people to take. And you just oh, it's brilliant. That is buzz. It's warm. It feels great. The opposite feels terrible. And if you need another metric, or just go and look at your bank account, because that's the only metric that really matters. What revenue did you bring in this month? What revenue did you bring in the last 11 months? Are you in the right place? What was your revenue target? Are you there? And I think it's quite simple, actually. I see a lot of people overcomplicating the measurement side. And by the way, a lot of people overcomplicate the measuring side because it's a bit like when you're in school, they used to give you points for showing you're working out. Well, I'm sorry to say, business owners, you don't get points for effort in business. No one cares. It makes no difference. At the end of the day, the result's the result. If you didn't make any money this month, you can't go and pay your mortgage with effort. Oh, but I worked really hard. Honest, bank. They will not care. And so you've got to be pretty black and white about it as well. And you've got to be pretty egoless about it as well. I don't care how important you think something is. If it's not working, it's not working. There's no point, you know, kidding yourself, because you're just, well, kidding yourself.
Yeah. Love that. You said right at the beginning that one of the things that makes TEPFU stand out from its competitors is how simple you make things. And I don't think you can get more simple than that. How much is in the bank at the end of the month? If it's not enough, then you've not done it well enough.
And if it's not enough, and anyone that's listening to this, if you are not making enough money and you do not yet have at least one coach in your corner, you are doing it wrong. Because most of the time in business, the problem is we can't see the forest for the trees. We need a trusted advisor around us. And by the way, that will never be your accountant, because they're not there to be that. They're there to do your accounts. A lot of people will turn to the accountant and say, well, what am I doing wrong? It's really not their remit to tell you. Everyone needs a coach, more than one. I have multiple coaches across various disciplines in my life. And the best athletes have more coaches, not less, right?
Yep. I have 4 coaches, including you.
There you go. Well, 4. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And each of us do a different thing, I'm sure.
Yeah, different disciplines. But yes, it's so important. And I wish I'd done it earlier on every single one of them.
Absolutely. I cannot tell you. I speak to my 18-year-old son all the time and regularly say to him, be coachable, stand your ego down, and get help from people who are smarter than you. I wish someone would have told me that when I was 18. Oh, I'd have saved myself so much hassle.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you mentioned right at the beginning about bees and flowers. So tell me more about that.
Well, I meet a lot of business owners who are very busy. They're spending 4 hours on social a day. They're smashing stuff out there and they're wondering why they're getting no return. They're sending DMs, but no one's responding. They're posting stuff. They're engaging, but they're always hearing from the same people and none of them are customers and they feel trapped. They feel lost. And I remind them all the time that you get the bees you deserve. You get the bees you want. And so if you're getting the wrong bees, I would argue that you're not being the right flower. And so we have to go back to some core principles. Who are you? What are you selling? Who to? And why would they buy it? Because if you don't know who you are and what you do, and if you don't know what you're selling, and if you don't know who you're selling it to, and if you don't know why they buy it, I'm pretty sure they won't know either, and they won't buy it as a result. And so flower to the bee is a really important humbling, if you like, of the business ego. It's not your job to go out and be busy. Again, you don't get paid on effort. If only we got paid on effort. If I got paid on tweets I've sent since 2006, I'd be a billionaire. But unfortunately, my bank doesn't take social media posts as currency, right? So we've got to appreciate and understand that it won't be the effort that wins. And by the way, you also don't have to be the best at something to win. Everyone that's listening to this or watching this or reading this, I guarantee you've had a moment in your life where a lesser competitor has beaten you to a job and you are beside yourself because you know they're rubbish. You know they're a shyster, blah, 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 blah. You know they're more expensive. What on earth is going on? How did they win? It just doesn't make sense sometimes. How did they win that piece of business? Their execution was better every time. Their execution was better. And if that sucks, I'm really glad. I hope it really stings and I hope it goes in and I hope you pay attention to it. Their execution was better. So stop thinking it's about effort. Stop thinking it's about I have to go and visit every beehive. I've got to hunt. No. On the contrary, you will spend a lot of time kissing a lot of frogs and not meeting a lot of princes. You're much better off to establish yourself. Who are we? What are we selling? Who to and why will they buy it? Be the flower that you want to be. What work do you want to talk about doing? What work do you like doing? Who do you like working with? And for how much reward? Be the flower you want to be. And if you're that flower, if there's a market for that flower and you start talking about the things that that bee cares about, if you start giving off the right signals, looking the right way, like a, you know, the right color of a flower, the right leaf shape, if you start giving off the right odors, producing the right nectar or lead magnets or content or whatever to attract the bees towards you, why wouldn't they come? And then you don't have to roll around trying to find anyone. You don't have to spend 4-5 hours a day bashing away doing stuff. Do you know, I was once in America, Paul, and I saw a bumper sticker. The Americans are awesome for bumper stickers. The best bumper stickers in the world. Hands up. If there's a bumper sticker Olympics, America would surely win it every time. And I saw this bumper sticker, and not to offend anyone, but it was just insightful and relevant. The bumper sticker said, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." And the point is made. You don't get points for looking busy. If you believe in Jesus and Jesus showed up, I don't think he'd let you into heaven just because you were looking busy. And that's the point. Look busy, Jesus is coming is the same in marketing. Look busy because your customer might not find you. No, it's completely counterintuitive. Actually, I want my clients to do less and be more of a flower and let the bees come to them, because then they can run the business. They can get on with serving their clients instead of basically being a traveling salesman door to door, knocking on doors, trying to find the next bee. I've never seen a flower sprout legs and walk to a beehive, Paul.
That's such good wisdom, not only for marketing, but in everything. And there's been so much valuable advice in that short amount of time we've had there, Al. I've got three very quick fire questions for you, if you'll indulge me.
Yes, slightly nervous.
Nothing too painful, I promise. Who do you think of when you hear the word story and why?
The first person I ever heard talk about story was Seth Godin a long time ago. And Seth Godin wrote possibly the greatest marketing story ever told, which was The Purple Cow. And if anyone listening hasn't read Seth Godin's The Purple Cow, go and read it as fast as you can, because that's why you're not winning enough business. So I think of Seth Godin.
Brilliant. And that kind of covers part of my second question, which is, can you recommend any good books, websites, blogs, podcasts about storytelling other than The Purple Cow?
Well, I would read everything Seth Godin's ever written. And this will polarize some people. Read everything Gary Vaynerchuk's ever written as well. That'll take you a while. If you finish all of that and you still need more, come and find me and I'll give you the third one on the list. But those two should keep you busy for quite a while. They're both absolute legends of the game. They understand marketing in their DNA, and they will change your life. They will change your business if you let it. So those two are the key for me.
And final question, where can we find you online? Where can we find out more about you?
Great question. Well, the great thing about my name is it's very unique. So if you type Al Tepper into Google, I pretty much own the first page. Feel free to find me on LinkedIn. That's the easiest place to get me. That's probably the safest place, because the rest of the world I don't have much control over. But LinkedIn, I do have control. So find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to chat. I'd love to help. If you're keen to get free help, there's mechanisms. We try and help people and serve them so that they will realize we can help them in the long term. So anyone listening to this, if you need more love, just come and find me, Al Tepper, all over Google.
Brilliant, Al. Well, thank you once again for taking the time to share all of that advice, hints, tips and wisdom with us. And I will look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Thank you very much, Paul. I'm very grateful.
Just a quick reminder that my book, Rule the World, Master the Power of Storytelling to Inspire, Influence and Succeed, is now available. You can get hold of your copy in all good bookshops, including Amazon and Kindle, Waterstones and WH Smith in the UK, Barnes & Noble in the US, and all good bookshops throughout the rest of the world.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Rule the World.
Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And visit weareopusmedia.com for more resources based on today's topic, as well as access to more episodes that will help you develop your storytelling abilities. That's weareopusmedia.com. Thank you, and see you next time.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.